the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
As we near the end of the Great Lent, with only one more week before Palm Sunday and the start of Holy Week, the Church brings us the story of the man born blind, as we heard in today's Gospel reading. Our Lord Jesus Christ healed this man who was born without eyes. In fact, our Lord did not perform a miracle of only healing, but the Lord performed a miracle of creation. For he created eyes by spitting on the ground and making clay out of the saliva and anointing the eyes of the man. This miracle reminds us of when in the story of creation, God took dust and created man and breathed in him the breath of life. This same God who created Adam, the same God created eyes for the seed of Adam. Also in this miracle, the Lord commanded the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And this, as we know, is a symbol of baptism, where we are washed and receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who is sent from the Father. And when we enter baptism, we enter it blind. We enter it blind spiritually, and we receive spiritual sight. So we will speak about sight, specifically about spiritual eyesight and spiritual blindness. And we will also speak about hypocrisy, because for those of us who attended the morning gospel or attended or read the Vespers gospel last night, you would know that the two gospels spoke clearly about hypocrisy and its serious consequences. In the morning gospel, we hear Christ rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy, for Christ labored with them for 3 years of service and ministry, and they still hardened their hearts and were therefore called blind guides, for they shut their eyes to the truth and yet wanted to lead others. How can I lead others if I can't open my own eyes? Also last night, we are told clearly that the consequence of hypocrisy would lead me to standing, God forbid, outside the kingdom knocking, and instead of the Lord opening, I'd hear those frightful words, "I do not know you. You do not know me. We ate and drank in your presence. We took communion. You taught in our streets. You gave us your teachings. We heard your sermons." But he would still insist that he does not know us if we have been following him with a hypocritical heart. Now back to the liturgy gospel. First of all, we have to recognize that this man who was born blind, as Christ explained to his disciples, was not an evil man. He was not blinded because he was sinful. Physical blindness is not an indication of the wrath of God, nor is it an indication of the sinful state of an individual. Spiritual blindness, on the other hand, is indeed very dangerous and leads one to commit all kinds of sins, for one simple reason. If I am spiritually blind, I do not know where I'm going spiritually, and I could easily fall into a spiritual ditch, a pitfall. If I'm spiritually blind, I either need to be healed spiritually or at least to be led spiritually by one who sees. Now there are ones who are spiritually blind, but there are others who are spiritually able to see, but close their eyes willingly, or close the eyes of their hearts, or in other words, harden their hearts and refuse to see the truth. Like the Pharisees, who were given the remedies leading to life, they were given the law, the prophets. These Pharisees were given the gift to see firsthand the fulfillment of the prophecies, the coming of the Messiah who gives sight to the blind. These Pharisees were physically able to see, and in fact were religiously quite learned, but unfortunately they refused to see with their heart and refused to accept the Lord, but hardened their hearts. But now I have to stop talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and turn to myself, for it is easy to point fingers at them, but what about me? I also have been given, in fact more than them, all the remedies leading to life. But do I learn and do I benefit from them, or am I a hypocrite? Before I am quick to judge the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, I need to pay attention and be careful, for I may have left some hypocrisy lingering in my own life, and will give a few examples. First example is in my relationship with others. When I meet a bishop or a blessed father and kiss their hands, perhaps I run to open the door for them. This is good, and we should remember those who rule over us, and we ought to respect and revere and honor our spiritual fathers. But how many of us would do the same with our own loved ones at home, with our parents, our spouses, and our children? Another example is my attitude or appearance of humility. We have this Middle Eastern custom of always trying to be hospitable, but sometimes we push it too far on the outside. For example, we always want to be the one who opens the door for others, allow others to go ahead of us in the lineup for communion. But what about when I'm in the lineup at the grocery store? Do I allow others to go ahead of me? Or do I frown and huff and puff when the lineup is too long? The attitude of humility and hospitality seems to end when we leave the church. You don't even need to go as far as the grocery store when I go downstairs to the lineup to grab a sandwich. This same person who is outwardly being gracious and generous in the communion lineup to allow others to go first, this same person is often pushing and butting in the lineup to grab a sandwich. But if I am on the inside generous, I would be generous all the times, not only when people are looking or paying attention. Now let's leave for a minute the Pharisees and the hypocrisy and turn to this man born blind. This man is truly a remarkable and blessed man. He not only received his sight physically, but also more importantly, he quickly progressed in his spiritual sight. And I imagine if we meet the man in paradise and ask him, does he regret being born blind? He would say that being born blind was the greatest gift he could have imagined, and let's see why. We see that in addition to his physical eyes being opened, his spiritual eyesight grew better and better. And what proof do we have of that? Let's listen to his own words. When confronted by the Pharisees, when abandoned by his own parents, when left alone to fend for himself, when left to fend for himself against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, what did he do? What did he say? Did he hide his faith in the Lord, or did he publicly declare his faith in the one who alone can give sight to the blind, the one who is the source of light, the source of life, our one true God? We see, as the ruthless society, instead of congratulating and celebrating with the man for being blessed with eyesight, instead, they interrogate him and try to corner him to deny the truth of what had happened to him. We see that the more they push him to deny his faith, the more boldly he declares his faith. And in the progression of events, the Lord allows him to come closer and closer, deeper and deeper to the light of the truth. At first, when asked who healed him, he refers to the Lord as a man called Jesus. Then his spiritual sight gets better, and he realizes that Jesus must be a holy man, and he says that he is a prophet. Then his spiritual eyesight leads him to want to be a disciple of Jesus, and leads him to accept persecution for the name of Jesus, to be cast out of the synagogue, cast out of society. Then our loving Lord Jesus finds the man and gives him another boost of spiritual eyesight, spiritual vision, and the man realizes that Jesus is the Son of God and worships him. And this is the great mystery of enlightenment. When the Lord allows me to come closer to him, my spiritual eyesight becomes better and better, but the process is a progression that never ends. I cannot ever say I have reached perfect spiritual eyesight. I can never say that I now know God and see him and understand him fully. It would take an eternity, and in fact, that's God's plan for each one of us, that we spend eternity getting to see him, to know him, to understand him better and better. But I have to be careful because sometimes I trick myself, or often the devil tricks me, or a combination of my tricks and the devil's, and I focus not on increasing my spiritual eyesight, but on what's easier, which is to pretend to have spiritual eyesight. I mean, I can on the outside appear that I am close to God, but on the inside I could lead a life that is far away from Him. And this is actually very easy to do, but very harmful to me, harmful spiritually, harmful emotionally, harmful physically, and very dangerous. And this, of course, is hypocrisy. This is like someone who has a severe sickness and knows what medicine he should take, but is too scared to take the medicine. So instead, he pretends that he is well. And by pretending that I am healthy, I can trick others to think that I am healthy, but on the inside, I am still sick, and the sickness can lead to death if not treated properly. Similarly, if I'm a spiritual person, but I'm scared or lazy or negligent to take my spiritual medicine, I actually have three options. The first is called acceptance, the second is called denial, and the third, which is the easiest, but as we said, most dangerous, is called hypocrisy. The first option is what I must do. The first option is acceptance, to run back to God, accept God, ask Him for medicine, and trust Him to heal me, to give me sight, give me vision, give me light, give me life. And this is the only option of the three that leads to life. The other two options both lead to death. The other two options are denial and hypocrisy. To deny is to run away from God, lead a life full of sin, remain in my spiritual state of sickness. This option leads to death. But we can say it at least leads to death in quotes, an honest way. Meaning I am sick and my sickness is leading to death, but I'm not hiding it. Someone who sees me can tell that I am sick, and perhaps they will over time help me and give me a push to take my needed medicine. This is like the Samaritan woman before the Lord met her. This is like the prodigal son before he came back to his father. They were sick. They were sinful, but they were not pretending to be good. They were not hypocrites. And the last option, which is the very dangerous one, of course, is hypocrisy. Again, that is to run away from God, lead a life full of sin on the inside, but pretend to be good on the outside. Perhaps because I like the praise of men, I hide my sins and outwardly pretend to be living a righteous life. But of course, God knows my heart, and even if I can trick men, even if I can trick myself into thinking that I'm okay, but if my heart is full of sin, full of hatred, lust, pride, or any sickness that leads to death, I cannot trick God. If my heart's messed up and I pretend it's okay, I'm still sick. And my sickness is still leading to death, even worse than the previous case, because here I'm fooling myself into thinking that I'm okay. Here I'd be leading a life of hypocrisy, and I have to be careful because this is very serious, very dangerous, and a very deadly state. By being a hypocrite, I outwardly appear good. And as the Lord Himself described hypocrisy with an analogy of beautiful, whitewashed tombs, white on the outside, appearing wonderful, but inside are full of death and all kinds of uncleanness. Now, as we're entering towards the holiest part of the entire year and preparing to walk with Christ through the Holy Week, to be buried with Him so that we may also partake with Him in His glory, the Church is warning us to take things seriously. The Church is warning us to take things very seriously and is warning us not to be shallow, warning us that this life is not a game, this is not a play, we're not here acting, we're not being asked to pretend to be good, we're not being asked to pretend to take the medicine. We are asked to repent for real, we are asked to face ourselves in all honesty and realize that we are in need, and to ask the one, the only one who can save us, to ask the Lord for help. Come and ask the one who has the medicine, who has the cure, who is the cure, who has the light, who is the light. But first, you must acknowledge your sins in order for the Lord to cure you, and admit, as we all are blind. But I need to be realistic. When I come to the light and look at myself in the mirror through the light of Christ, I'm going to see some things that are not very pretty. If I'm honest with myself, I will see my weakness, my imperfection, and the things that I lack. But this is the first step, to admit that I am in need, that I'm not perfect, that I have faults. But I have to realize that for any weakness, any imperfection, anything lacking, it can all be remedied by Him who is perfect, if I allow Him into my life to give me light and a new life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.